Hi, everyone. My name is Matt, and I am the lead for the Conference Center Youth Program. Welcome to the youth panel. I personally am glad that you're here. We're going to start off with a couple of introductions. We do have one more student who is on her way, and then she'll be joining us as well. But I'm very far away. I'm going to stand closer. I'm going to have our students introduce themselves. So why don't you tell us your names, where you're from, what grade you're going into, and what school. So name, where you're from, what grade, what school.
Hi, my name is Sophia Obaj. I'm 15. Is that one of the questions? Yeah. I'm going into 10th grade. Oh, I'm from Rohnert Park, which is Northern California. And did I say I'm going into 10th grade?
Yes.
what was the other question? Oh, yeah, and I go to Casa Grande High School.
Hi, I'm Caitlin. I'm going into 9th grade. I'm from Anaheim, California, and I'm going to La Habra High School. Go Highlanders.
Go Highlanders. Awesome. So before we get rolling, I just have one quick just vision casting for what we're doing here. And so our students have been just so brave to be able to offer up their perspective for us. So I have this tendency, it's a personal issue of mine that I'm working on, of like, if I hear someone say something, I'm like, I'm a corrector. You know, those people that like jump in and like want to correct someone. But I think in this sort of setting, it's really helpful for me to remember, and then sometimes for all of us as well, to remember that nothing said in this forum by the students is wrong, because they're simply sharing their experience and their perspective as well. So if you are like myself and like to be a corrector, I would say just hold on to that and allow our students to share their perspective and share what they think, because that is the best way for us to learn, is to accept other people's perspectives and what other people's experiences are as well. So before we get rolling, I'm gonna go ahead and pray for us, and then we'll start it up with your guys' questions. So God, we just thank you so much for today in giving us the chance to sit and to listen and to ask questions that you've put on our hearts, God. I thank you so much that we get the chance to just be here and to learn more about you through these wonderful students that you've created, God. I pray that you put questions on our hearts and answers in the minds of these students. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Hi, come on in. Great. And then this is Cora, everyone. Cora, go ahead and you can grab the mic and then just share your name, where you're from, what grade you're going into, and what school. And then we'll get rolling with questions.
I'm Cora. I'm from Assotin, Washington. I'm going to Assotin High School, and I'm going into 9th grade.
Excellent. Sweet. So, who wants to be the brave one and ask the first question? Go for it.
So I'm finding that though the show is a lot better than it used to be, I would hope so after working on it for 20 years, we're finding, and it's on in more places, like actually finding less responses than we used to when we were on just in Houston in the local area. Now we're on in 150 countries and blah blah blah. And so we're trying. We're rebooting. It became comfortable doing it as we've done it, but now we're trying to figure out what to do. Okay, so. That's the say, and I've got a couple questions for you. As our to be fair, our show is not this. If you guys love Jesus, and I hope you do, our show is not necessarily designed for you. But in every way, we hope that you would watch it because it's a good show. And so our question that we're being faced with, if you don't mind, and I'm sorry, but I've got four questions: TV versus internet. I would say. What's more important to you?
So for me, that was really loud, sorry. So for me, if I'm watching TV, I'll watch it in like the living room with my mom. So that's usually where we watch our shows together. But on the internet, if I'm watching like Netflix or YouTube, I'll usually watch it in my room on my phone. So for me, it's not necessarily that one is more important than the other, because one is like family time and one is alone time, and you need a good balance of both of those. But I think for the audience that I'm assuming you're trying to reach out to, you said that the broken people is who you're trying to reach out to. They might not necessarily have that family time with the TV. So I think that the internet might be easier for them to access. Or it might be easier for them to watch it, or it might make them more comfortable watching it there. So I hope that answered your question.
Like she was saying, I think the internet in many ways is just much more accessible and much easier to use for some people than having to find a TV and find somewhere to sit and things like that.
Music videos inside of a 30-minute episode, would that be interesting to you, or is it a potential waste of time?
How many?
There's about, we changed it. Back in the day, when the only place you could see it was here, would be about five, then went to four, then went to three, now it hovers around three, but we've narrowed them down to in about 30-second pieces. Because if it's a hip-hop video and you're not into hip-hop, then we're going to lose you. So we'll play about 30 seconds and give a reference to it, and you can go watch them on the internet. That's what we've done. What do you think of that?
What goes in between the music videos as well?
A host, and it's not, I used to be me forever, and now we're using a lot of younger hosts. So they're doing, they're talking about their life.
That's awesome. So I think it depends on where the music videos are placed. If they're kind of just like randomly like thrown in, then that might distract some people or be like, oh, like I was listening to what he was saying. Like, what is this? I think just make sure that they're placed in somewhere in the episode that makes sense, or use them as a way to like help people better understand what the speaker was saying. Maybe that might keep people more engaged.
I think for me, most of my friends are not Christian, because at my church, I'm the only freshman. Everyone else is a lot older, so most of my friends are not Christian. And knowing what we talk about, talk about like political issues or things that our parents like that we're dealing with. And I think that one topic, this is just kind of what is on my mind, but just because a lot of times we feel like our voice isn't heard. We do have opinions, and I know that like not everyone might agree with them, but we do have our opinions, and I think that one thing that a lot of people want to know is that we're heard, and that we have we do have a right to an opinion, and we want to just be able to voice that freely and comfortably. So I think that one topic that I know I would be interested, and I know my friends would be interested, whether they're Christian or not Christian, is knowing that their opinion is valid and that they have a right to be heard. So. Oh, that's a great question. I think for me, my opinions definitely are influenced by my mom and what I and my experiences and my friends and things like that and what I see. But I think every opinion is based on previous experiences and your relations with people. I, in some instances, I do have differing opinions than my friends and my mom and what is usually like the norm or what people think is right. I sometimes have differing opinions from that. And I think a lot of things that I believe and that I've seen do affect my opinions, and like what my parents have taught me definitely influenced that. But I think I still have my own voice, and I've found it throughout those experiences and throughout what people have kind of told me. I've been able to see what I believe is true and what I believe is right. So I think that that's my answer.
I had an answer to both of your questions. For you, you were asking about topics. I don't have any specific topic in mind, but I would say one thing that I've noticed with a lot of my non-Christian friends is that they don't like their views to be disputed. They don't like their beliefs and their world to be just broken down in like one little sentence, like everything I believe is like not true. So I'm gonna put this the best way that I can. Start with topics that don't just like smash their entire world, everything apart. Start with topics that are maybe more simple, just kind of start to like chip in on that instead of just like crashing everything down, if that makes sense. All right, and to answer your question, I think in today's world, there's a lot of influence from people around me, my parents and my friends, but sadly, I think social media has a very, very large role to play in people's opinions today. I know if I see something on social media and I don't know much about the topic, I normally am like, oh, like that must be like true, because you want to believe that the sources are reliable. You want to believe that what the facts that people are saying or comments people are making are true. And I think people's minds, whether they know it or not, are getting warped. Their views are getting warped. Their opinions are getting changed through social media so much more than anywhere else, whether they realize it or not.
How would you like your parent to address something if we, you know, my son come to me and say, hey, did you hear about this? You know, like, you know, it's a load of crock. How would you like your parent to address that with you to try to say, do you really believe that? Do you really think that's true?
So you're asking how they would address that, right?
Yeah.
Like bring it up? Okay. I think just having your parent walk in and ask you a question to the point where you can just sit down and have a conversation with them about that is the best way to bring it up. And if they obviously don't want to talk about it, then maybe just like kind of just lay off a little, like just kind of like, okay, and like bring it up again a different time with a different question to like bring it up, if that makes sense. I just, asking a question and talking with your child about it would be the best approach, I think.
I'll go. For me, I think just understanding, like being honest with them. If you see them and they have this false information, talk to them about it and do it in a way, like don't make direct statements like, oh, you're wrong and that's not a good source of information. Say it like, oh, from what I've seen and what I have, the information that I have, I don't believe that that is true. Or I don't believe that the information you have is accurate, and then show them why. Don't just tell them that they're wrong and tell them that like that their information is wrong. Show them why you believe that. And also, if they choose to tell you things or if they don't necessarily want to talk, then just understand that as well. Sometimes, I know I need space sometimes, and a lot of people just need some alone time or they need a breather first. So if they don't want to talk, give it some time. Eventually they will. And also, just I think don't get upset if they have a different opinion than you. And I understand how that could be hard as a parent. I know from talking with my mom, when we have differing opinions, it's hard to kind of get past that. But once you do, you can open each other's eyes to see why you believe that. So if my mom and I have a differing opinion, we usually talk about it and talk about why we believe that thing. And just the key is not getting upset with them, not saying, oh, you're wrong just because we believe different things. You need to like make sure that they understand why and that you understand why they believe that. And I think once you see that, you might still have those differing opinions, but you'll understand why they believe that.
Yeah. I do. I see my parents proclaiming it. My mom's a teacher, so I'm not sure if she can actually like directly just be like, I'm a Christian, but she definitely like people know, they see something different for sure in her. And I think just in many other adults that go to my church and my friends' churches, I see them, some of them anyway, just totally living out their faith. And I think that is very encouraging for me to do so. I think sometimes, especially in high school, you know, I go to a public high school. I went to a private Christian school for 9 years from K through eighth. So there it was very easy to be like, yes, I'm a Christian. Like, this is very a relaxed environment. But now I'm at a public high school, and it's not something that I just like bring up. Like, I feel sometimes awkward talking about it. Sometimes I'm like, oh, like, these people, they're gonna like make fun of me or think that I'm just like silly, or it's gonna change my relationship with some people. But I think especially over this summer, I spent the last 2 weeks at Amada, which is the babysitting camp, and I think especially over those 2 weeks and this week at youth, I realized that if people's opinions change in like a negative way about me because of that, then they weren't my true friend. They should support me in that. And it's something that I should be proud of. You know, I'm saved by God, and that's so, it's incredible. And God doesn't want you to hide that from people. There's obviously a time and place to share that. It's to walk up, shake someone's hand, like, hi, I'm a Christian. Like, that would be kind of weird, yeah. But just, like, find those opportunities in conversations to just kind of, like, casually just, like, bring it in a very natural way. So I've been looking here where, like you said, it's a safe environment. I feel very comfortable here talking about that. I've been just, like, observing conversations and being like, oh, that would be a good time to, like, say something, or, like, oh, look, that was an opportunity right there, or something like that. Did that answer? Yes.
And you don't have to tell her that I told her. But she's going from a Christian school, K-9, you know, or K-1 actually, really cool. And you know, K-3 rather going into high school. And so she's making that transition. And just kind of what was that like for you? How did
you
deal with it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I get asked this a lot. I think it was a big transition at first. Is it a smaller school?
No, we live in Napa, so we're right over the hill.
Oh, okay, awesome.
Yeah. So it's vintage high school, so it's...
Oh, all right.
It's the bigger of the two high schools.
Yeah.
It's
the one
with the good rep now.
Vintage.
More people are transferring into that one.
I have some friends there. Yeah, it was a big jump. I think I came from a class of 17 people to this big high school of 1,800. My class is 500 people. The people jump, the social aspect of it was huge, but I think even more so, kind of like I mentioned in my last response, just being able to talk so freely about God and about my faith in my Christian school was very easy, and it was a simple, you know, just casual everyday thing. We had Bible class every day, so it was the normal thing. But going into high school, I quickly realized that that was not the case, especially at the public schools. There's so many different opinions flying around, so many controversies, especially with today, the politics and everything. I think it was hard at first because I really, really wanted to talk about God. But I would say the biggest thing is to find a community. I have noticed that I feel much more comfortable and open in Christian communities such as here at Mount Hermon, rather than in a community of people where I'm the only Christian. That is harder for me than being in a community where I know people, I'm their sister in Christ. It's much easier. So whether that community is at school, I know my school has a Jesus club that meets once a week, and that is a great community. And then youth group, obviously, just find a solid community. So even if it's not at school, where it's so easy to be of the world, where, you know, in the Bible it says be in the world, not of it, find a community where you can relate to people, talk about what you're feeling. And I think that will definitely help when you go back to high school, like if it meets every Sunday or something, and then you go back that week and you feel kind of renewed in a way. And I think community definitely helps me get through that.
Into kind of the way you see things. And that's for everybody. I'm not picking on somebody.
Well, I think for me, I love science and history and facts, and I read like Forbes and things like that, just the New Yorker articles, just interesting things. And I need to make sure that it's fact-based, that there has been research on it or things like that, that people aren't just like cherry-picking their data and things like that. And I think on social media, it is very hard to see what is the truth and what is just opinion, but I think you're also able to see, based on who is posting it, their history of posting, things like that. And also, if you're interested in the topic, if you see it, you can do like more research onto it and see if it's actually true. If you see it happening a lot, then you can usually tell if it's fake or not. But again, it is very hard. And with social media, it spreads like wildfires. If something goes viral, everyone probably sees it within the next day. So it is very hard to have an opinion and know that it's true. But I think you also have to create your own truth. If there's something that you believe and people say that it's false, or there's people trying to prove you wrong, you still have to sometimes have faith and believe in that.
So I think to add on to that, fact check sources that you know and have found to be reliable. And you can also, again, adding on, you can tell sometimes if it's, usually posts that are opinionated are very emotion-based, have lots of, you can hear like the passion in their voice just through like the caption or something. You can see it. It's almost like a little rant usually. And at that point I'm like, okay, this is what they're thinking. This is what they believe. It's usually more of like a thought that is very similar to many other people's. But if it's a fact, it sounds more, usually put together. And so I look at that. I'm an analyzer. I analyze things and, so I'm always reading these things, and if I see something and I'm like, I'm not really sure about that one, I'll look it up. I'll do like intense research into it, and I'll find facts to like back my opinion up, not my opinion, like what I found to be true, or if their fact was not true. And I think you can never trust. I don't want to say never, but you usually. It's hard to trust things that are online because they can be changed. Words can be words can be manipulated. Quotes can be changed. I know I've seen like inspirational Bible quotes or something, and I'm like reading the verse and I'm like, that doesn't sound quite right. And I look up the verse and they've changed like three words that like make the whole difference to the verse. Or reading things out of context is also another big thing. I would say if they took a quote from a passage or an article anywhere online, even the Bible, go and read the quote in context, because it could mean something totally different than what they intended it to mean or what they were using the quote for in order to prove their point. It could be something totally different.
For me, I watched this show called Adam Ruins Everything. I don't know if you've seen it, but they always put the sources in the corner so that if you want to fact check, you can. I always go and check the facts. So I think for me, definitely giving credit to whoever it was, whether it's like the NIV or whichever one you're using, I think it's definitely important. Probably not to everyone, but I think it's really important to put it, because to some people it really matters. And if it's not there, then they'll say, "Oh, that that show, then they don't have credit, and then they might stop watching. And for definitely, like a year ago, if I was seeing that on the shows, I would kind of just ignore it, but I would still see, like if I was looking at a verse and it said NIV, I would just read the verse, and then I wouldn't really look at where it was in the Bible or the NIV or anything. So to some people, they can just ignore it, and that's their choice, but to some people, it really matters, and if they don't see that, and if it's not there, then they will like stop watching, or they'll say that it's not, it doesn't have, like it's not accurate or anything, yeah, so.
Yeah, this isn't very, surprisingly, it's not very a big topic that I hear a ton about, but I do know that around non-Christian people, it is uncomfortable for a lot of people. I can see it, like I said, I'm an analyzer, I can see it in their reactions, just the way they tense up and stuff when anything about religion, doesn't even have to be Christian, just religion comes up, and they're like, oh no, like, what am I gonna say? I know that has happened to me several, countless times. It's crazy. But I said it before in one of my responses, community. Having a strong, good, solid Christian community that you can go to, whether it's your church, your youth group, even just a mentor, a person that you look up to. It can be pastor, mom, dad, anybody. That is so, so important. Without that community, you might not even realize it, but you are not as strong as you could be. But when you're with that community, especially just like going to youth group or something on Sunday nights, you feel so much, at least I do, and I know I've heard it from other people, I've seen it, they feel so much more comfortable, so much more safe, so much more just empowered to like just talk about the word of God and be so like strong in it. And I think that eventually, it probably won't happen after one, two, three times. Over the course of a year or so, it'll come naturally. It'll be like, oh, this is, my identity is in Christ. And you really find that through the good Christian communities that you have, that they help you grow, they make you stronger, and they make stronger to go out into the non-Christian world and non-Christian communities and still be the light, still be that Christian and feel comfortable talking about it again, not just like walking up and be like, hey, I'm Sophia, I'm a Christian, you know, but like just find those opportunities in the conversations and it'll help you to do that.
I think that there's a way to tell the world that you are Christian and that you believe in God gracefully. You don't have to tell people that they're wrong. If you have a differing opinion, like God created everyone. So that everyone is God's child, whether they believe in him or not. So I think you don't necessarily have to like tell them that they're wrong or that they're not like worthy of his love or anything. I've definitely seen that. My church talks a lot about the issues like in the news and things like that. And I watch the news every day, so I see a lot of these instances where there's hate and there's like danger and things that just aren't good in the world that are happening because of differing opinions. And like you said, going out into the real world is hard. For me, it was kind of the opposite. I was living in the real world, and it was hard for me to go into the Christian world. I grew up in the church. I've been going to church since as long as I can remember. But our church like moved campuses, and when we moved, I got bullied at church. And so it was kind of like, why is this happening, God? Why are you making this happen? So I turned away from him, and I stopped going to church for about a year or so. But then, because of that, I went to this new campus, and I found this great support system of people, and I've been going to that new church for about a year now. So I think it was kind of the opposite for me. Like, getting back into that church community was hard. But there's a reason for everything. The reason it might be hard for you to go into that, like the real world, might be because God is just waiting for you to have a better experience or the right experience. He might be keeping you on one path with like a group of Christians so that eventually you can go out and then become stronger because of it. So, yeah. Yeah.
Or just trust in God that it will happen at some point. Is there something I can do to work through this with
him? I think if you just respect that he has his own views, or whoever it is, respect that they have their own views, and sometimes you need that break to come back stronger. So if you are definitely right, don't force them to go. If after a while they form different views, that's okay too, but hopefully it's in God's plan. Somehow it's, we can't really see what's up ahead, but it's all in his plan. So if you, that is a very hard situation. My mom kind of went through the same thing with me because after that experience, it was very tough for her deciding whether she should force me to go or not. So I had that time, and then actually coming back to Mount Hermon is what got me back into the church. So I think just having those experiences, even if he doesn't go every Sunday, or they can just, maybe if they go every once in a while, or they celebrate like the Easter and Christmas like celebrations, if your church does like a special thing, just doing things like that, maybe not going every Sunday, but going every once in a while to kind of keep it up, but also give them time to just have a breather and think.
I definitely do not. I don't disagree. I think it is important, but also it depends. It depends very much on the kid. I don't know him. I don't. But I think sometimes giving them that push, even though they might resist against it, can push them deeper into faith, or at least if not now, it'll give them that later. Because later in life, you always hear their stories like, oh my gosh, I'm so thankful my parents like made me do this. Like, I hated it at the time, but now like I am stronger because of it. And things like that. So I think it is important that you keep them going. Like she was saying, maybe it doesn't have to be every week, but try to make it more consistent than not, because he'll grow into that habit. And it might be hard for him. There probably will be some resistance, but hopefully later in life, he'll look back on that and be like, wow, my mom really cared about me. My mom did what she knew and thought was best. And it changed me for the better. Also, it's so simple, but pray about it. just ask God for help to know what to do, handle the situation. He knows you and your kid better than I do, obviously, but even better than anybody. And I trust that he will know what to do, and he will give you guidance in how to handle it.
I don't know if this comment would be helpful, but if he or she has like a friend that goes to youth group, I know that like if that friend invited them and they're like a closer friend or at least someone that they know and that they go, I think that would be helpful, because I know at my school, the first time I ever went to youth group was this past like year. Last year around Thanksgiving, my friend Indigo had invited me to go to youth group. They were like, oh, she said we were having a Thanksgiving thing at youth group and you should come with me. And so I did, and I ended up loving it, and I still go to youth group. And it, ironically, like most people at that youth group are people that go to my school. So I guess like just knowing that there are still people like at your school that do believe in God, and like that they're people that you know and even maybe care about as friends, might help him or she, her, whatever, go back to church. Like, because youth group is amazing, especially when you know people. Like, when you first go to youth group and you don't know anyone, that can be hard, because I feel like that was what stopped me from going to youth group. And even though Indigo goes to a different youth group at a different church, I still go to that youth group and I have a great time there.
So my church, we had this event called Chalktober, and it was in October, and we took a whole month, and every service we would get a whole bunch of chocolate, and we would just learn about God, and it was like, chocolate for Christ. We had a whole bunch of funny taglines that we were doing, and the final time, they were going to have like a chocolate extravaganza. Like, they got a giant chocolate fountain, and they had a whole bunch of stuff, so I invited a few of my friends who don't believe in God. They're atheist, and I invited them, and they came, and they ended up loving it, and they've actually come a couple more times just in normal months, or in normal services, and they've come with me to go. And then another thing that we do, we'd have this big like Halloween extravaganza, and that one is, it's like a secular event, so I've invited them to that, and then because they had such a good time and met some really nice people, they've come with me to like church on a Sunday. So that's been, it's been kind of a positive thing for me, and it's been, it was very hard to invite them, even to the like secular events, because they're like two different worlds, and then they collide, and it's very hard to just kind of watch that happen, and it's very hard to initiate that. So I was hesitant at first, but once I invited them the first time, it got much easier. So yeah.
Okay. So I think asking people is definitely, like you were saying, the hardest part of getting people to come. You really just have to like work up the courage. Like she said, it's two worlds totally colliding. You're not sure about what's gonna happen. Are they gonna like it? But I think the biggest thing is getting past all those worries and just trusting in God that he will like make it work. Even if they don't have a good time, which I've never seen someone come to youth group that I've invited and not have a good time. But even if they end up not having a good time, I think the fact that you had the courage to just ask them to come, invite them, shows a lot about you and can build your strength and your courage too. So it's kind of like a double, like a win-win. If they like it, it's obviously like, oh darn, they didn't, like they're not coming back, like that's unfortunate, but just don't let that break you down and don't let that stop you from asking more people. Because like I said, I have never invited somebody to youth group and they haven't liked it. Like every time, just there. I was like, that was amazing, when can I come again? And I'm like, great, awesome. Oh, okay.
What happens when they invite you to their world? How do you respond to that? When they invite you to a non-Christian event or a cultural event, or where you clearly know this is not going to get good. And then you're good friends. So it's kind of like, I'm going to tie it to something else. If you come, I'll come to yours. So how do you respond to their invitation? So that way they can know how to respond to your invitation. So
that's difficult because I have been invited to things that I know are not going to be good. And I'm like, oh, no thanks. Like, just parties and stuff in general. I've never actually been invited to something of another religion or something of another culture. But I've been invited to things that, again, I know, like, oh, this is not going to be good. And I think that's just when you have to stand your ground. Like if they say, come to mine and I'll come to yours, but you know that where they're inviting you is not a good place, there's gonna be so many like temptations and things there. It's hard, but you just have to say no. You can come to mine because I know that youth group is nothing that's gonna like hurt anybody. If they don't like it, oh well, but like if they do, that's great. It's going to help them hopefully come to God. But I know going to that party that they invited me to or something isn't going to get me any closer to God. And if I don't have a good time, that's a lose. But if I do go and I do have a good time, then I've probably done something that is against what God wants us to do. So it's like a lose-lose if I go. And so you just have to stand your ground and it's tough, but you just have to say no.
For me, I've been invited to like my other friends' churches for like carnivals and things like that. One of my friends who is Sikh, they were doing like a special ceremony for one of the holidays that they celebrate. And she invited me because she said, oh, you're such an important friend to me, and I know that you don't believe in the same thing, but I would really love to have you there to support me. So I ended up going, even though it was something other than what I believed, because I wasn't doing it to harm my relationship with God. I was doing it for her. I was doing it because she wanted me there, and we were really close friends, and she had told me that she felt that I was the only person that she could ask, and she needed someone there to support her. So I went because she was one of my closest friends, and I had a great time, and no one was really upset with me that I didn't believe in that. They were very welcoming, even though we had different beliefs. And it was very out in the open. It wasn't like we were keeping it secret. But I still had a great time. And even at the other like church carnivals, if they're a different religion or anything like that, I go for my friends. It's not our relationship. If we go, is not like, oh, you're coming and then I'll go to your, like you're coming to mine and I'm going to yours. It's more we're going because we want to have a fun time and because we need each other there. And for mine, if I brought some of my atheist friends to my church gatherings, I understand that they might not enjoy it, and they still will probably have their beliefs, but if I can even just bring one of them to the church and to God, it will definitely be worth it. So I keep trying, and they always come with me, and some of them have actually gotten baptized, and I was able to help with that, which was really, it was an amazing experience. So it was just, it was all, it was really amazing. So, yeah.
Yeah, we got time for one more question.
Okay, I have two.
You can always, like, talk to us later if we see you around camp.
For me,
said a little bit ago about accept, and I'm sorry, that was my second question, about your voice and being heard. We recently changed our slogan about a year ago to a voice for this generation. Is that insulting to you to see something that is claiming to be your voice? I think it's positive, but I could also see, well, who are they to say that they're a voice for me?
I think it depends on the situation. If there's people that we see and they're our age sharing their opinions, and it's like and that's the voice that's being heard, even if it's differing from my opinion, I will say that is what I want to see. If it's some 40-year-old man telling me what they think my voice is, even if it's what I agree with, it's not going to be what I'm going to listen to, because even if I might agree with them, it's not going to be my voice, or a voice of my generation. A voice of my generation is someone that is around my age or that is a part of that generation speaking what they believe. So if you have that incorporated in, if it's someone that's that age group or that age range, then I think that would be good. But if it's someone older, telling us what they think our voice is, even if it might be accurate, it's not, I don't think that's very good.
So you have a voice for this generation, not of?
Yeah.
Is that specifically? Uh-huh. Because sometimes they aren't only 18.
Yeah, yeah.
Is a voice for this generation still going to be offensive?
Well, I think that a voice for this generation is kind of, if I heard that, it would be like, oh, you're telling me what I should believe. And I know if that's what you're trying to get at, then great. But I think that if you're it's a voice for this generation. And so my view is that it's telling me what I should believe, but I think it should be so that others can hear what I believe. So not like others telling me what to believe, but me telling others what I believe. I don't know if that made sense. It sounded a lot better in my head. So.
I think a voice for this generation, it's a good slogan. It could be misinterpreted. It could be a voice for this generation, like a voice representing this generation, or a voice for, as in, like, this is like meant to be watched by, you know, a certain. So I think it could be misinterpreted, but I think it is in some ways a good slogan.
Okay, well, that is the time we have. I just want to affirm you ladies. You guys have spoken so eloquently and have given so much wisdom to us as a group, and I know that we're better, smarter, and more wise because of it. So I appreciate your guys' perspective and experience, and thank you for being courageous enough to say your answer questions. So thank you. Everyone else, feel free. Spread your wings. See you later.